you would, take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14. And the song that we just sang ties perfectly into the story we're going to read about from Exodus 14. We'll begin in verse number 1. And as we read together, I want you to put yourself in the story. A lot of times we can just read it and it's just words on a page, but put yourself as these characters. I think it'll really bring the passage to life. The Bible says in Exodus 14 and verse number 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Verse 6, And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them by encamping the sea beside Pi-hahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Therefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. And Lord, our desire as a church is to move forward. Many of us in here are encompassed around with great trials and great difficulties. God, the devil would want no more than for us to be paralyzed by fear. But your desire is for us to move forward. And I pray that everyone in here and every family would make the decision to go forward. I pray for Pastor as he preaches, give him the words to say, and give him great liberty as he preaches your word. And Lord, we know that your word will not return void. We're not trusting in our advices or our schemes. But Lord, we depend heavily upon you. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in the hearts of the people here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Reese. As we begin to explore the spiritual vision that God has given for us as a church this year, I think it's vitally important we understand something as a matter of introduction. And that is that Jesus is ultimately the one who sets the vision for his church. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus is the head of the church. which is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So we talk about having a vision for what a church should be in any given year. It's important we understand that God's vision for us is always Christ-centered and not man-centered. And that's important for me to say because it's so easy for us to make the things that we do all about ourselves. But God has given us a vision that is really all about Him and all about His glory. And that is the vision that He has given for us this year by giving us this spiritual challenge to go forward. When I began to seek God for the direction He wanted to lead our church in this year, I began to pray about it last August, actually, is when it was. And there are a lot of details, circumstances that were fluctuating through my mind. I was thinking about the growth God has brought to our church and how many wonderful new families have come to our church. And I was dwelling on the fact that that growth has brought us to a place where I believe God has moved us to begin the process of constructing a new building. And here we are headlong in this building process. It's wonderful to see the things that God has been doing. And yet there are challenges. We're out of money for this building program. We've gone into a little bit of debt as a result of that. And these were circumstances that came into my mind as I contemplated where we should go this year as a church. On the other side, I started to think about the very ever-increasing reality of the anti-Christian culture that we're living in today. And now, more so than at any time in recent history, and certainly more than any time in American history, we are living in a nation today where to say some simple truths from the Bible is not only politically incorrect, but it is considered hate speech in our day and time. Right. Just to simply say what the Bible says, just to talk about simple truths. And I think about all these things that are happening in our society today, and it gives me a little bit of pause. And to add insult to injury, we are in an election year. How many of you are happy about that? The only benefit I have found to election year is every time the election year rolls around, gas prices always go down. Why? So they can say, come November, see, this president gives you cheaper gas prices. Vote for them, okay? Don't fall for the trick, okay? There's my little tidbit for you. But it always happens. And we've got, it seems like there's so much writing on these circumstances that are happening in our country. And all of these things just gave me pause. As a pastor, and as I thought about the direction that God wants us to go, it brought me to a place where, honestly, I was a little bit uncertain about the direction and uncertain about what God wanted us to do and a little bit reserved about where we were supposed to go as a church. It reminds me of the story I heard one of my pastors tell about some foreign pastors who had come to the States for a visit to a church, and while they were there, they wanted to go downtown and explore an American city. And so they gave him a car, and they gave him some cash, and they went downtown in the city, and they were exploring, and lo and behold, it wasn't too long before the pastor got a phone call from these foreign pastors, and they essentially told them, "We're lost. We have no idea where we're at. And can you help us?" And so he started to try to help them figure out where they were at and figure out where they needed to go. And he said, "All right, I need you to go down to the nearest cross street and just tell me what two street names are on that nearest cross street." So there they go. They start making their way down to the corner. And they said, okay, we're here. They said, "Okay, what's the cross street?" And they said, "We're standing at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk." Now, sometimes that's how I feel. Like I'm standing at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk. And as I consider all the things that are happening in our church, as I consider all the things that are happening in our society, I would say that's precisely how I feel. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to go forward or I'm just supposed to stay put because there are fluctuating emotions that go on in my mind. And I think it's agreeable. I think all of us would agree that there are certain junctions we come to in life where the easy thing would be for us to play it safe, to stay where it's comfortable, to stay where it's easy. But I'll tell you this, oftentimes
God brings us into a position in life where we are not afforded that luxury. Oftentimes, God puts circumstances into our lives and throws us into situations where we can't plant safe and we can't stay within our comfort zone. And the reason He does it is to teach us to trust in Him and to teach us to exercise faith in Him. Can I say, I believe that's exactly what God is doing for our church this year? And as much as there was a part of me, as I considered all the circumstances that we're going through right now as a church and country, there's a big part of me that just wanted to play it safe and wanted to go in that direction this year. God kept putting it on my heart over and over and over again. And I promise you, I've tried to change this theme about 10 times since God put it on my heart. Because because of the range of emotions that go along with it. But God kept putting it on my heart time and time again. Go forward. Go forward. And by God's grace this year, I believe that's what God is calling us to do as a church. To go forward. Now the scriptural precedent for what we're about to study from the scripture comes from Exodus chapter number 14, where we just read in our Bibles. And in Exodus 14, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. People ask me often, who's your favorite Bible character? And the right answer is always Jesus, right? But besides Jesus, I like John, but I'd say my favorite Bible character has always been Moses from the time I was very young. And I love the story of Moses. I love the story of the Exodus. It is one of the most spectacular stories in all of the Scripture. The people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, had grown into a great nation of people. And yet they found themselves in slavery to the nation of Egypt. And during the time they lived in Egypt, Egypt had grown to become the strongest and most powerful nation in the world of those ancient times. And they were put in slavery under this powerful nation. And the circumstance they found themselves in, it seemed impossible for them to be ever able to be delivered. And yet we serve a God who is the God of impossible. Amen? And God intervened and he raised up a man named Moses, and he called Moses and asked Moses to go and be his representative to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. And after 10 supernatural plagues that took place, God weakened the will of Pharaoh and all of the Egyptians, and they let the people of Israel go free. When they went free, the Bible says that God began to lead them out into the wilderness. Not by the easy way, but by a particular way that He had chosen. They went down a winding path through the wilderness all the way to the banks of the Red Sea. The Red Sea stood before them. There were two mountainous ranges on both sides of them. And behind them seemed to be their only way of escape. It didn't make sense, the place where God had led them to. They were surrounded on every side. It was a dead end, humanly speaking. And while they were there, looking at that water, wondering what in the world God was doing, behind them, on the horizon, the Egyptian army showed up. They changed their minds. They came to take Israel back into slavery, take them back to Egypt. And their hearts sank. In that moment, when it seemed like all hope was gone, God told Moses to say two words to the people of Israel. Look at verse 15 again of our text. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they what?
Go forward.
Go forward. Against insurmountable odds, God's challenge to Israel was to go forward. Listen, what you may be facing in your life today may seem insurmountable to you. You may feel like Israel. You've come to a dead end. You're surrounded on both sides by circumstances that you can't overcome, and in front of you, it doesn't seem like there's any way you could go back that way. And yet, in the midst of whatever you are going through in your life this year, God's call to you is to go forward. It may not seem possible. It may seem difficult. But God is calling you to go forward. And I believe the same thing is true for us as a church. I'll be honest. With what God has placed upon our hearts to accomplish this year, to move forward in doing this year, I don't know how it's possible. Humanly speaking, it isn't. It doesn't make sense, some of the goals and some of the things that God is moving us to take out, to attempt to do this year for the Lord. But I believe in the face of these impossible circumstances that God is moving us as a church to exercise faith in Him and take some faith steps forward this year. Go forward. What does it mean to go forward? What does it look like to go forward? I want you to notice with me three specific ways we must choose to go forward this year. The first one I want you to write down is this. Go forward regardless of the obstacles. Go forward regardless of the obstacles. Now notice the people of Israel in this story, they faced some very real obstacles. Obstacles that to most people would have been great reasons to give an excuse not to do what God was telling them to do. One of the first obstacles they faced, we see back in chapter number 13 and verse 17, was the obstacle of an illogical path forward. Look at verse number 17 of chapter 13. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in verse 17, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." Listen, when God led Israel out of Egypt, the way that He led them forward did not make sense logically. It would have been much easier for them to come out of Egypt and stay along the banks of the Mediterranean Sea and go right up into the Promised Land, right up into the place where God said He was leading them to go. But the Bible says that's not the way God led them. Instead of going up and into the Promised Land, they started to wind their way down through the wilderness away from the Promised Land. And the direction God was taking them did not humanly make sense. Here's the thing. God knew some things Israel didn't know. God knew that if they went the way they thought they should go, there were problems waiting for them there that would cause them to lose faith and turn back. And He did not want them to go that way. So He led them a different way. And it makes me think about how often we come to similar circumstances in our lives as well. Oftentimes the way that God is leading us to go, it doesn't make sense. But they went forward with God's direction because even though it didn't make sense, they knew that it was God who was leading them. So how do they know it was God that was leading them? Well, look further on in chapter 13 and verse number 20. The Bible says, well, let's read verse 21. It says, "And the Lord went before them." Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of what? Cloud, and led to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." God led them with His very visible presence. It's pretty easy to follow something that you can see that's directing you where you should go. A pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. It was directing them to go in the opposite direction of what most of them thought they should go. But what they did know, even though they didn't understand where God was leading them, was that God was leading them. And that's all they needed to know. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And often, God does not show us the whole path He's going to have us to walk. I'm of the opinion that if He did, it would probably scare us to death. But it'll give us the next step. That's what He was doing for Israel, showing them their next step. And though it didn't make sense to them, they had to rest in confidence that God knew where He was leading them. And here's the first statement I want you to write down. When the way is unclear, go forward. When the way is unclear, go forward. Understand something. God doesn't do things the way you would do them. Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, even so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways." God exists on a whole different plane than what you and I do. He sees this world from a whole different perspective. His perspective is not temporal. His perspective is eternal. And when the way does not make sense to you, you can trust that God still knows what He is doing.
Right.
A.M. Overton was a preacher of yesteryear who penned one of my most beloved poems called "He Maketh No Mistake." I love the poem. But the story behind the poem makes it even more convicting. You see, A.M. Overton, while his wife was pregnant with their fourth child, she passed away, and the child passed away while she was seeking to deliver it. And at her funeral service, in the funeral service of his child, the preacher who was conducting the service looked down at Overton. And as he was sitting there, he noticed throughout the whole funeral he was feverishly writing. And what he was writing during that funeral were the words to this poem that I'll read to you now. "My father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he does know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem the day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in Him, He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see, my eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to Him. For by and by the mist will lift and plain it all He'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, He made not one mistake." That's powerful. That someone can go down a road like that and still trust the Lord. And that's what God was calling Israel to do. And that's what God is calling us to do. And the first obstacle you may be facing today is the simple fact that you have no idea why God has you where you're at. You have no idea where God is taking you as you consider the circumstances of your life today. But you can rest confidently so long as you are seeking to go the direction God wants you to go. He's not made a mistake. He knows right where you are, and He knows where He's taking you. You can go forward by faith. You don't have to allow the obstacle of an illogical path to keep you back. So we see they faced the obstacle of an illogical path, but the second obstacle they faced was of an intimidating foe behind them. For sake of time, we won't reread the text, but in verses 5 through 9, we find that as God was winding them through the wilderness, it left enough time for the Egyptians to change their mind. And through their grief, they came to their senses. And in verse number 5, they literally asked the question, "Why did we let them go? What were we thinking? These were the people who did all the work for us." And so Pharaoh and all the Egyptians decided to round up the entire army of the Egyptians, all the horsemen, all the cavalry of Egypt was gathered together in the chariots, and they began to rush down the way in pursuit after the children of Israel. Nobody was left on foot because the king's business required haste. It was important for them to get there as fast as they could. And in verse number 9, the Bible says that they came and they overtook the people of Israel right as they were standing in front of the Red Sea. And here the people of Israel sat. When they turned and saw their captors, the people they had been enslaved to their entire lives, standing behind them, no doubt their hearts sank. Because now they had a foe that, humanly speaking, was impossible for them to defeat. There was nothing that they could do from a human perspective to overcome this enemy. It was an intimidating foe that they were facing behind them. And yet in that moment, God was wanting to teach them a simple truth. And that is that the God who led them to that situation would lead them through it. And that's a truth all of us need to understand. The God that has led you to the circumstance you find yourself in will lead you through. And here's the next statement I want you to write down. When the enemy is near, go forward. When the enemy is near, go forward. So I believe that many of us have settled for a let's just hold on till Jesus comes attitude. We look at the circumstances of the world and we think, well, the world's just going to keep getting worse and worse, so we just need to hunker down and we just need to survive until Jesus comes. And instead of having a courageous faith, for many of us, we're allowing the circumstances of our life and the intimidation of the world that surrounds us, that opposes our faith, to cause us to retreat. But that is not what God has called us to. In the face of all the odds, in the face of all the enemies that face us, God has called us to go forward. Parents, I'll say a word to you. It's not popular to try to raise kids biblically today. In fact, you may be criticized. You may be slandered. You may even be persecuted for trying to raise kids the Bible way. But against all the enemies and all the opponents who would try to discourage you and tell you you're not doing it right and telling you that you're hurting your kids by trying to teach them the truth of the Bible, God has called you to still go forward.
All right.
I can bring application after application into this, but listen, we all face obstacles that could give us excuse not to go forward. We face the obstacle of an enemy. We face the obstacle of an illogical path, but then I see another obstacle they faced was the obstacle of an inescapable fear within their hearts. Look at verse number 10 with me, if you would. Verse 10, this is what the Bible says of chapter 14. It says, "When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." Can you imagine what it would feel like? You're trapped. God's led you to a dead end. And you turn around and there's a whole army right there seeking to destroy you or take you captive. How would you respond? Fear. Fear is how they responded. In fact, the Bible says they were so afraid they cried out to God for help. And then their fear caused them to do something else. Their fear caused them to turn their finger to Moses and say, "This is your fault, Moses. We said that we should stay there. We wanted to stay as slaves in Egypt." That wasn't true. That's what they said. And they blamed it all on Moses. "Moses, you led us out here to die. Why do we follow you?" In the midst of this circumstance, their fears caused them to lose reason, lose sight of reason. And in that weak moment, they began to think that they should have never left. That they should have never done what God has told them to do. We should have just stayed behind. We shouldn't have listened to Moses. We shouldn't have listened to God. They began to lose confidence in the Lord because of their fear. Boy, in that moment, they needed to hear the words that had not yet been written by the psalmist in Psalm 56 and verse 3, where he said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And this is the next statement I want you to write down. When the fear is sincere, go forward. When the fear is sincere, go forward. You know, fear and faith cannot coexist indefinitely in the same heart. Either your fear will drive out your faith, or your faith will drive out your fear. But they cannot coexist. The reason why many of us have not been willing to go forward with what we know God is calling us to do is because we have allowed our fears to hold us back. And let me tell you something, church. It's high time we allow for our faith to lead us forward. Because 2 Timothy 1:7 says it is that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And boy, when you get your eyes off of your circumstances and when you turn your eyes onto the Lord, it chases away all of your fears. You can allow fear to be an obstacle for you to go forward, or you can choose to face your fears and, in spite of your fears, do what God is calling you to do this year. I like how Winston Churchill put it. He said, "Faith is not the absence of fear, but it is the courage to act in spite of it." That's what faith is. And as we enter into this year, yes, there are obstacles that we are facing. But none of those obstacles are big enough to keep us from trusting our God to give us the strength to go forward. So God is telling us, first off, to go forward regardless of the obstacles. What is keeping you from going forward this year? What's your obstacle? What's that thing in your life right now that's been holding you back for the past 6 months, for the past 6 years, maybe longer? Because whatever it is, it's time to lay it on the altar and say, God, I'm not going to let this hold me back anymore. By trusting in you, I'm going to do what you've called me to do this year. Go forward regardless of the obstacles. Number two, go forward relying on the omnipotent. Relying on our omnipotent God. With all these foreboding obstacles standing in the way, the Bible tells us that Moses stood before the people and he made a bold declaration of faith in what he believed God was about to do. Look again with me at verse number 13. If you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 13, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today." Verse 14 goes on to say, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Moses essentially looked at all these people, and he wagged his finger and he said, "You just wait and see what God's about to do. You think that God's not going to come through for you? You're allowing your fears, you're allowing your enemy to make you think that God can't do what God said he was going to do. But you just wait and see, God's going to come through." Here's the thing, Moses didn't know when, he didn't know how, but what he did know is that God was going to come through. Because God had promised he was going to lead his people into the promised land, and Moses was not going to stop believing that God was going to keep his word. And so he made this bold declaration, just stand still and see. Listen to me on this. You cannot be ready to go forward until you first make the decision to stand still. Moses said, stand still. That word, stand still, it comes from a Hebrew word, yatsap. And it literally speaks of positioning yourself or presenting yourself. What Moses told the people of Israel to do is to come and stand and present themselves to the Lord. That's literally the image of what's happening here. Now that goes against the grain of what our inclination is to do when we're faced with an insurmountable circumstance. Listen, what we want to do first is, if God doesn't immediately act, take matters into our own hands. Right? Reminds me of the story I heard about a nun. Okay, she was helping with some home health care for some people, and she was driving down the road. And her car one day, and her car ran out of gas, and so she walked to the nearest gas station. And while she walked to the nearest gas station, she asked the attendant if he had a gas can that she could use because she'd ran out of gas. And he sadly informed her that he'd already loaned out the one that he had, and he didn't have another one with him. So she walked back to her car, and she didn't know what to do. Well, she just tried to figure it out for herself. And lo and behold, she was in home health care, trying to help people with their medical needs at their house. And she had a bedpan in her car. And so she took that over to the gas station. She filled the bedpan up with gasoline. And she went back to her car. And as she's pouring in the gas out of this bedpan into her car, some old boys drive down the road. And they look at this nun with a bedpan pouring it into her car. And that old boy said, "Man, that's some kind of faith right there." Well, that's how we tend to be, isn't it? When we come into a situation, we can't figure it out. We want to figure it out for ourselves. We don't want to trust the Lord. But if you're going to go forward, the first step you have to take is to stand still. Present yourself to God and say, "God, I could try to figure this out. I could try to solve this by myself, but I would fail. I can't do this, God. So I'm presenting myself to you. I'm standing still. And God, I'm trusting you that you're going to come through for me." That's where going forward starts. Boy, as they stood still, God made clear what it is they were supposed to do. Because listen, faith is never inactive. Faith is an active thing. And as they stood still and they chose to depend on the Lord, God gave them some instructions. Hey, what did God tell them to do in verse 15? Help me out. Two words. Go forward. They're standing still and they're waiting. They're saying, "God, we're expecting you to work." And I'm sure they're thinking, "God, calling fire down from heaven and destroying the army, that would be fantastic. Won't you go with that?" I'm sure they had in their minds all kinds of things that would have worked better. But as they're standing still, God gives them an answer. Go forward. "But God, there's water. I can't walk on water. You want me to swim? There's a million people here. There's all kinds of reasons they could have given not to do what God was telling them to do. But as they stood and presented themselves to say, God, I'm willing to trust you, God gave them a step to take. And he told them to go forward. That was the decision that he gave for them to make. And in verse number 16, the Bible says, after God had told them to go forward, he told Moses, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Boy, in that circumstance, as they made the decision to trust God, God gave them a step to take. He told them, start marching. And then he told Moses, you take that rod and you lift it over the water. That rod's a symbol of the Word of God. And God essentially told Moses, you take the word of faith and you challenge the people to follow my word and do what I'm calling them to do. And as Moses lifted the rod, those seas parted out of the way and dry land appeared in the middle. And the people of God began to step forward by faith and watch God come through for them. But it didn't stop there. Not only did they walk across that water, walk across that waterbed on dry ground, but when they got to the other side, they turned around and God told Moses, put your rod down. He put the rod down and those waters came in and took out the entire Egyptian army. And listen, I don't know what their plans were. I don't know what they had in mind for God to solve their problem. But I promise you this, God's plan was a whole lot cooler. More importantly, God always has a way of doing things where only He can get the credit for it. Here's the awesome thing about living by faith. When you choose to go forward by faith, you are choosing to put your life in the hands of our omnipotent God. He has all power in heaven and earth, the Bible says. Listen, there's nothing too hard for our God. He's the one that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or even think according to His power that works in us. We have a God of infinite power. We have a God of infinite knowledge. We have a God who can take care of you in your circumstance and lead you to the other side of it where you'll look back on it and have to admit, boy, that was God. He'll do it in such a way to where He'll get all the glory. He's calling you to make a decision that really, when you consider who God is, it's an easy decision to make. God knows what He's doing. He has all the power to help you with your circumstance, whatever it may be. And I'm going to tell you, church, there is no limit to what God can do in this church, in your family, and your life this year if you would simply be willing to present yourself to the Lord, to stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, and be willing to take the step of faith forward that God leads you to make. The question is, are you going to be willing? Or are you like that old nun we talked about? You want to take matters into your own hands. You can do it your way. Listen, the people of Israel, when the Egyptian army showed up, they could have tried to turn and fight. They would have lost. They could have tried to climb the mountains on the side of them. They could have tried to do many things, but if they had gone their own way, they would have failed. It took them presenting themselves to God and admitting, I can't do this without you, for God to be able to give them the right way to go, His way. And God gave them a great deliverance. You try to take matters into your own hands this year, you will fail, time and time again. And you be willing to present yourself to the Lord. He is the only one who can give you the path of faith forward. Go forward, regardless of the obstacles. Go forward, relying on the Lord. And here's the final thing I want you to see, and we'll be done. Go forward rejoicing in the outcome. Go forward rejoicing in the outcome. Now, we've already shared a whole lot of the rest of the story, and this is a familiar story from the scriptures of how God brought a great deliverance for the people of Israel and brought them through the Red Sea and annihilated their enemies in the midst of that Red Sea. And after it was all said and done, and the waves began to settle, and that sea, when it came crashing down, verse number 30, it says, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Boy, this one event in Israel's history became a defining event for the rest of their history. You read the rest of the Old Testament, and the most attested to example of the power of God on Israel's behalf is the crossing of the Red Sea. It's referred to more than just about anything else in Israel's history. Why? Because they trusted God in an impossible situation, and God came through for them in a very big way. And they never could forget it. This is what I love about living by faith. It is so intimidating to take that step of faith forward because you have no clue if God is going to give you any footing when you take that step. You have no clue if God's actually going to come through for you other than He said that He would. But when you do it, and God does come through, listen, there's nothing better in all the world than to see God come through for you when you take steps of faith forward. And it is grounds for rejoicing to see the Lord come through for you when you're willing to exercise simple faith in Him. And Israel, throughout the rest of their history, rejoiced in this one event. The next chapter is actually a song that Moses led the children of Israel to be able to sing in the wake of this miracle that God had done. And boy, the rest of their history was defined by what the Lord did at this particular junction. And here's what I'll say to you. If you will make the decision of faith to go forward, trusting the Lord, you'll be able to look back rejoicing, knowing that what happened was because of God's power working on your behalf. Here's what the Lord tells you to do. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. He says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds His steps. When you decide to exercise faith in the Lord, you will always come to the other side rejoicing, because God came through for you. Listen, we could get very practical. We could talk about that job that you have been neglecting to quit. You know God wants you to, but you don't know how you're going to make ends meet if you don't. We could talk about the matter of you serving, the matter of you being involved in the local church, the matter of you sharing your faith with other people. All of these kinds of things are the practical things that require faith from us to be able to be willing to trust God to actually talk to somebody about Jesus. That's an intimidating thing. If you'd be willing to make those kinds of choices this year and step out in faith, I promise you, you will see God come through for you. Right. Heard the story from one of our members this week who took a step of faith this week to deal with a particular situation, and he didn't know how it was going to work out. The end of the story is that he was able to lead a man to trust in Jesus Christ as a Savior. I love it when you, and I can't get into a lot of details about that particular story, but I love it when someone takes a step of faith and they see God come through for them. And friend, that can happen for you. There are obstacles. There are obstacles that are going to keep you from thinking, no, I can't do that. I can't go forward. I can't trust God with that right now. You allow those obstacles too, they'll keep you from going forward this year. Or you can make a decision today to present yourself to the Lord. Stand still and trust that God will come through for you. And as you stand still and you surrender to the Lord, He will give you a path of faith forward, and you will see God come through for you. As we enter into this year, that's what God's calling us to do as a church. And yes, God's called us to do it as a church, but it starts with each one of us as individuals. Would you be willing to take a faith step forward in your personal life today? Listen, would you be willing to take a faith step forward in your marriage today? See, many of us, when it comes to our personal lives, our marriages, when it comes to our involvement with the things of God, we're just coasting along. Listen, we're not going forward. If anything, we're starting to fall back. The challenge that God is giving to us from His Word this year is to not settle for that kind of Christianity. God is calling us to go forward. And I leave you with the words of Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, where the Bible tells us these words, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I have not arrived," in other words. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, you know it, say it with me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." God's calling us to press on. God's calling us to go forward. And by His grace, may we do it.